Well, today the topic is leading like Jesus. And I kind of chose that topic because it's Father's Day. And not that just the fathers are the leaders in the home, but we're all called to be spiritual leaders in our homes, in our communities. So I want to look at Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 and a few things that Jesus teaches us about how to be the spiritual leaders in our home. And you know, it's really the church's responsibility to help us, to help all of us become those spiritual leaders. Remember, it's not the church's job to be the spiritual leader in the home. That's your job. That's our job together. It's the church's job to equip the saints to be the spiritual leaders God has called and invited them to be. So that's what we're going to talk about here briefly. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we're going to look at John chapter 17. So if you brought your Bible, you can find one. You can grab your smartphone and open it up. Open it up to John chapter 17. And John chapter 17 offers a prayer. And it's Jesus, it's John's version, if you will, of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So on Thursday night, it's on Friday, Jesus is going to be crucified, and so he's in the garden praying. John's gospel really elaborates on what Jesus is praying about. But when we take a close look at this prayer, we see Jesus revealing some characteristics of for spiritual leaders today. So check out John 17, beginning in verse 1. Here we read, "After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do.'" Now, the best part of that is the last verse of that section. Jesus says, "I have brought you glory," he's talking to the Father, "on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." See, the ultimate goal of life is to bring honor and glory to God. And Jesus brought glory to God by doing three things that is outlined in John chapter 17. So I think it makes sense that if we do the same three things as Jesus, then we're going to bring glory to God as well. So whatever Jesus did in this passage, it's going to bring glory to God in our lives if we do the same three things. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus says to God the Father, "I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Now, he says his work is done. Now, think about this. Jesus, it's Thursday night. Jesus hasn't traveled to Calvary's Hill on Friday. So if he hasn't died yet, what work is he talking about? Well, Jesus is not talking here about paying for our salvation. He's not talking about dying on the cross. He's not talking about rising from the dead on that first Easter morning. He says, "Father, I finished the work you gave me to do, so what is it?" Well, it's the work of being a spiritual leader, and we're going to look at three things Jesus teaches us about how we can do the same thing in our friendships, in our families, in our communities. So here, American Sign Language, okay? I'm not really good at that, but I was trying to think of some things to help us remember stuff. And I found that if I looked that up and found, well, hey, that's an idea. And I'm not sure what that means, okay? But here's the first thing Jesus teaches us. Jesus helped the disciples. Now remember, learning from how he interacted with the disciples, how we're to be spiritual leaders in their home. So Jesus helped them get to know God. The sign for know is this: Jesus helped them to know God. Now, that's the first thing. And think about it, that's the most important responsibility we all have for anybody, friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, because knowing God has an eternal consequence. You know, so we want everybody to know God. Jesus says in John 17, verse 6, he says, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me. Now, this is, I think, this is pretty awesome, okay? Jesus reminds us that our kids, our grandkids, our family is not ours. See, they were mine, says God. He says, they were always yours. You gave them to me. And as parents, think about this. Our kids aren't ours. You say, well, wait a minute. They've got our last name, whatever. Well, sure, but they're not ours. They're God's. God gave them on loan to us because eventually, you know, they're first his and they're going to be his eventually for all the eternity. But he just gave them to us on loan. So this is really about being good stewards of the children God puts in our care. We have a huge responsibility to show them the way, the truth, and the life because they're God's and God gave them to us so that we would take great care of them and lead them to the truth that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. So I think that is a very important thing to remember. And so here's something else, and this is kind of scary. I think this is one of the most scary, sobering facts that I could possibly say to any of us today. Here it is. For right or wrong, good or bad, our children's idea of God will be determined by and large by the kind of parents we are. Now, we may not like that, but that's the truth. So if we're an impatient and demanding parent, they're going to think God is impatient and demanding. And if we're distant and detached and never have time for kids, then they're going to think God is distant and detached and never has time for his kids. If we're inconsistent and unreliable, if we break promises, they're going to think that our Heavenly Father is inconsistent and unreliable and breaks his promises too. And if we're unpleasable, then they're going to think that God is someone they can never please as well. So spiritual leaders in the home are parents who keep their who help their children know God by modeling what God is like, by modeling God's unconditional love, care, compassion, his availability and accessibility, and God's consistency. You see, God doesn't have good days and bad days. God isn't moody. God isn't unpredictable. So by the power of God's Holy Spirit within us, we're called to model what God is like. How do we help our children know God? By modeling God's love, God's character, as best we can by the power of the Holy Spirit to the children in our care. Here's the second thing. Jesus guarded, here we go, guarded their spiritual growth. First thing is we help them know God. The second thing is we help guard their spiritual growth. Now, verse 12 says, during my time here, this is Jesus, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so no one was lost. So how do we protect and guard our children? Well, we protect their bodies. You know, that's the first thing. In other words, we keep them safe. We keep them healthy. We do all we can to make them safe and healthy. And we protect their minds, okay? It's our job as parents, as a spiritual leader, to protect the innocence of our children. You see, children are not mini adults. They can't handle violence. They can't handle sex. They can't handle death. These things are a heavy subject to a small child, to a little mind. So growing up, we need to be very strict with our kids about what they can and cannot do, what movies they can see, what TV programs they can watch, what books and magazines they can read, what they can do with their iPhones, you know, their smartphones, their iPads, and their computers. When our two sons were growing up, they thought Tammy and I were the meanest people in the world. Once our older son sat at a dinner table, he goes, you know what, I just can't believe it. She goes, of all the parents I could possibly have, I have one who's a teacher and the other who's a preacher. Oh my goodness, it couldn't get any worse than that. But they would always think we were narrow-minded and mean-spirited people when we told them, no, you can't do this, or no, you can't go there, or whatever. And growing up, I mean, it's a challenge. Our younger son, Josh, we said, no, we just looked at him, he'd start crying and say, okay. Matt, our older son, however, he wanted to argue and debate with you. He wanted to show you how you were mean-spirited, how you had it all wrong, how we were such terrible parents. And we just look at him and say, I'm sorry, you feel so bad, you know. We empathize with the feelings. I said, this must make you angry to know that you have such mean parents. But go find somebody that you think will take you in and go for it, you know. But in spite of our meanness, our kids, you know, they actually did become adults. I don't want to go through it ever again, okay. But they did become adults. Because especially Tammy, she ran a tough household. And as a result of that, though, they're young adults who are in the world living their life for God. So sadly, children will all get to the point, you know, when they're going to be faced with the vulgarity of life. We just have to remember they're going to face that. We got to do all we can to keep them from that. As long as we can, because life is ugly and it's vulgar out there, friends. But let's protect our children as best we can. Then we protect their spirits. And this is talking about their self-esteem. You know, remember the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words never hurt me. Well, we all know that's a lie. That is the biggest lie there ever was. I mean, think of a child. If you say something that puts down a child, that will stay with that child forever. If they break a leg, they're going to eventually get healed and fine. They'll be back out there. But those harsh words are going to stay with that child, in many cases, the rest of their lives. So what's our role as parents? As those who are called to raise up the children the way they should go, well, don't use words that hurt. Use kind words, encouraging words, build them up, give them high fives, fifth bump. Oh, sure, we're going to have to discipline. We're going to have to tell them, you know, the boundaries. But let's not say things like, well, you're never going to be like your sister or your brother. You're never going to do this or you're never going to do that. And friends, I'm telling you that there are some of us sitting here today who are still haunted by the things that our parents told us way back when, and we're still trying to get over what they said, still believing what they said, instead of looking at what God says about you and me. Words can hurt. They can be painful. So we need to mold these little ones to know that in God's eyes, they are a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do the work he called it, prepared in advance for them to do. So we got to help our kids know God. We got to protect, guard their spiritual growth. And the last thing we need to, ready? Send. Isn't that cool? Send them to serve God's purposes. You see, here's the bottom line, and check out what Jesus says in verse 18. From the Message translation, he says, in the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. And so here's the bottom line. You and I, God put us into this world so that we would grow to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, so that we would go and live to embrace our mission in the world, to be the hands and feet of Christ to a needy world. That's why we are. Now, some of us do it as bankers, some of us do it as a teacher, some of us do it and working in various places throughout, whatever. But that's our purpose. And, you know, we live in a very selfish, self-centered world. And because we live in that selfish world today, it becomes that the three most important people in our lives are me, myself, and I. And what we need to help our children know is while they are important to us, we cannot be helicopter parents and hover over them and just tell them that they are the all in all and that they're so wonderful and great, and what they need to do when they grow up is to do whatever that wonderful and great thing they want to do, because it's not about them. It's about what God wants to do through them. Our role is to send them out to be the person God will use to bless and change the world around them in whatever occupation they go into and through. So let's not let the world kind of hover over us and say, hey, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. There's no I here. It's all about us as parents sending our children out to be the champion God created them to be, letting them realize that their mission in life is to serve God and give Him glory in whatever capacity they do. So, as we close this morning, I'd like to invite you to make your pew or chair an altar of prayer as I pray for us today. And as I offer this prayer, if it speaks the desire of your heart, I invite you to pray it along with me silently this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to be a spiritual leader. I want to be a spiritual leader in my family. I admit I've got a lot to learn. I've got some catch-up work to do, but I believe that you can give me the wisdom and the power I need to do this. So, Father, I dedicate myself completely to you, to be the parent, the grandparent, the family member, friend you want me to be. Thank you, Father God, for my church family, where we support each other no matter what segment or stage of life we're in. We are all in this together. Jesus, I want to be all in for you. I want to be dedicated totally to being used by you any way you wish. For I pray this in your name. Amen.